Would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Gary German. I play bass and sing.
I'm Ryan, and I play lead guitar.
And I'm Ross, and I play drums and sing.
Since we last met, 5 albums, lots of controversy, breakups with girls, a singles compilation. I've probably even interviewed one of the, had multiple conversations with one of the girls that there was a breakup with. I mean, gosh, how exciting is life, right?
It's, you know, it's a microcosm, like outside of this van. Like, I think that, you know, we kind of try to, we try and exist in a bubble. And this bubble is bouncing against everything else in a haphazard manner, like a product out of a chute.
Wow, that was heavy. I don't know how I can even respond to that. But I remember getting Hey Scenesters in the mail. I remember getting a white label single.
Oh yeah.
I remember popping it in. I remember not knowing a thing about you. I remember saying, hey, you know what? It's got some energy. It's well produced. I think I'll play it. And then there's been, you know, so many things between that and different angles. So all kidding aside about the bubble, the one thing I do know about this band is that you don't, and we're going to have fun with one thing that I brought, but in general, you don't sit there and read your own press. You don't sit there and go, let's see, how are our careers going? Are we making it? But really, the fact of the matter is, if you've made a living in a rock and roll band for a decade, and you're still doing this, and you've made all the albums you've made with all the people that you've made them with, you must step out of the bubble at some point and go, I guess we're doing okay.
Well, we just had a top 10 record a couple of weeks ago in the UK, and that was our third top 10 record in a row, which when we found out it was 3 in a row, that's kind of like, you know, it's cool because you realize that there is, you know, more to it than just what we do, you know. That kind of stuff gives you a bit of a reality check, and that feels good.
The thing is, you have to keep going, you know. That's the thing with us. It's like, it's not like we it's not like we're aware of what's popular, and you know, we've seen we've kind of seen a lot of the bands that kind of came up at the same time as us like disappear. So it's not like you think, oh shit, or anything like that, but we've just had to keep going. That's just what we do, you know. We just like continue writing songs. We still feel like we have some degree of a point to prove, and also it's like we can't stop, you know. We're not allowed to stop. If we stop, we starve, you know, and that's just the bottom line.
I think we're lucky in the fact that our records have been doing consistently better, you know, which has been, it's surprising to be 10 years on and still be on like the upswing. So that feels good, you know.
The dynamic of not being in the same place when you're actually not obligated to be in the same place. When you get back together, that's got to give you some sort of an interesting dynamic, right? That's a little different.
Yeah, I think it makes things a bit more... you're ready to get back together when you've been away for a while. But, I mean, on the first few albums, we all lived together like in the same house and stuff. So again, it's a contrast to that, like how things are now, how we all like live in different places. But I think, you know, it can be healthy to have that time apart, and just because if you're on top of each other all the time, you can really, you know, just be in each other's personal space and stuff.
You've got to go away to just become your own person, you know what I mean? It's like, otherwise you just remain this band guy, you know, who is on tour all the time, and then when he's not, we're still together, so you remain in that band dynamic, you know what I mean? Which is like, when I'm not touring, or when I'm not, like, you know, together with these guys writing, I kind of like go home and I try to just not think about the band at all. I try and get on with living a different kind of life, just so that when you get back together to write, you actually have some things to write about, you know. You need to kind of like have a life outside the band, which is something that I've only realised in the last couple of years. I'd say since I moved to New York, that's the first time that I've actually had a life outside the band, you know. So now I kind of can realise that I'm not this guy
now. You can value that, because like when we started the band, Ross was 16, so, you know, our dynamic as brothers has been more molded by our time together as a band than it has been like as time together as kids, you know. So like Ross was saying, like sometimes you just need to get away from one another, because otherwise when we hang out, it's just straight back to being in a band. It's like we don't hang out as brothers as much anymore, you know.
You never really, you and it's kind of a really interesting dichotomy, because you say, well, you know, our last three records have gone top 10. But then on the other hand, you always talk about the fact that you never really fit in, right? That you never fit into, you know, the guitar bands or the, you know, the whatever bands, right?
Whatever was hip. And I think that that's what served as well. I think that's the reason why, you know, the previous few records have been, you know, at least maintaining our position, or like maybe, you know, advancing it. Because when there was like a whole scene going on that was, you know, that everyone in the UK was so preoccupied with, that was frustrating for us, so we tried to keep out of it. And I think that now that a lot of that stuff has died off, then it's meant that we've remained, the fact that we never, you know, tried to get involved with that stuff, and the fact that we tried to remain separate from that has really served as well. And that's the reason why we can continue to do what we do, as opposed to, like, you know, you don't want to be, if you're part of a trend, then all of a sudden you're out of fashion. Like, we never cared about fashion, so.
It's kind of a conundrum, though. I don't know how, you know, I honestly don't understand how you can put an album in the charts like that and still not fit in, you know what I mean? But we do find
that,
I know,
bizarre about it, right?
But we do still find ourselves in that position. Like, I know, I trust our instincts, and I definitely feel like we don't, yeah, we still don't fit in, and I just think it's just one of those conundrums that you can't explain.
I think it's because the people who like our band feel the same way also, and there's enough of those people to, like, you know, understand that and be on our
thing,
side,
yeah.
You know, so that's what I mean. Like, if you establish yourself in that way, then eventually people just really start to respect that. I know that the sort of more conventional press and the more straight press definitely didn't really have much to do with us for a long time, and now they've come around to that, which is weird, because on one side you feel like just rejecting it, but then the other way it's like it's almost like they respect you for what you for the way that you did things, which is what I would hope that people do. So in some ways I'm actually quite flattered by that.
It was, I forget if it's 2 or 3, and you'll know exactly when, South by Southwest ago, I had the pleasure of spending a lot of time with Edwin Collins and his wife. And this was one of the first interviews he had really done where he was speaking well enough, and the new album that you were involved in. And the fact is that you did some great things for him. Because when he was trying to make that record, he needed to be surrounded by some younger people who really made him feel, you know, alive again. And he spoke of you really, I just want to let you know, because I didn't know when we were going to meet again, but he spoke of you in such a positive and wonderful way. And you really helped him make a record that, even though this is a man who, even when I saw him, was still having trouble walking and, you know, having to put two and two together in some ways because he was still progressing. You know, you were among the people that really helped him heal. And I'm not getting all warm and fuzzy here, but tell me, that must have been an amazing, amazing experience.
It was. I mean, with Edwin, he produced our second album for us. And at that time, we definitely found ourselves in a position where we were seen as being like ultra kind of like nihilistic, and just, you know, kind of yeah, very much felt like outsiders. So when we found ourselves in the studio with him, we were kind of like it was quite a frustrated young band that he was dealing with, and he dealt with us really, really well. I feel like
channeled that into the music, and like he made us feel like what we were doing was the right way to do things.
He understands angry.
Yeah, he was one of the only people that really kind of, he was like, you know, like, use it and go with it. And so I think that by the end of the recording session with him, it almost felt like we were like, you know, we with Edwin and his wife, I've always felt like we all feel like family now. You know, we've all grown very close. And when Edwin had his stroke shortly afterwards,
it was pretty much the day, like within a couple of weeks of us finishing the record, so it was very close.
I mean, obviously everyone was like devastated at the time, because no one knew how it was going to pan out. So we visited Edwin a few times, you know, during like the darker days of it, and it was really, yeah, it was really tough. You know, it was tough to see someone that you'd had this connection with, you know, be struck down almost, you know. And so, but I'd put his recovery down to the fact that he's so strong-willed. You know, Edwin is such a strong-willed person, and he told us, you know, he found a lot of his recovery came through going back to his studio, and he would be back in his studio environment, and that would help grow, you know, all his neurons and stuff back in his brain, because he was seeing all these like pieces of gear, and he was having all these memories come flooding back. So when he finally, you know, Grace, his wife, got in touch with me and said that Edwin had started waking up in the night and writing songs and singing them into his dictaphone, just singing the melodies, and he had bits and pieces of words. And he wanted some people to help him, you know, get the songs down on tape. So he was really calling people that he felt comfortable with and that he trusted, because he still wasn't 100%, you know, at that point. So he still would feel, I imagine, would still feel quite vulnerable in the studio. So I went in with him, and it was a case of, like, he would just try and tell me in, you know, in words what it was that he was wanting out of the song. And I would have to translate it really quickly to the guitar or to, you know, any other instrument. And I feel like it was one of those things where it wasn't a battle getting the songs down. It was like whatever Edwin was wanting, when I would start playing, he'd be like, yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. So we ended up writing and recording a couple of his songs in, like, you know, 2 days. You know, we recorded a song a day, and he was really happy with it. And I feel like a lot of people saw that record as being one of his better records, but it really was all his ideas. I just helped him translate them, you know. It was like they were all the songs came out of his head.
In 1977, I was on college radio, and I played that band called The Cars.
I've always had a list of guys that we wanted to work with, just because it's like when we were kids.
But most people don't get that list.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like when we were kids, we would always like read record sleeves, and all the records that we liked, we would remember the names of the producers. You know, we were nerds about it. So we didn't know that Rick Ocasek was in The Cars. We just knew that he'd recorded a Weezer record that we liked when we were 15,
right.
You know.
Right.
So
you discover that stuff later.
Yeah, you
know.
Discover that stuff later. Though? But the weird thing is like, yeah, people make a big deal out of it, being like, oh, they've worked with all these great producers. Why? And it's like, well, because we wanted to. And when we approached those guys, they wanted to do it. It's like, what are we supposed to do? Just go with, like, you know, someone that we don't care about working with, or just record it ourselves because we want to avoid
it's just an angle. It's an angle, and you know, we choose produce. I mean, we're lucky that people have wanted to work with us, but we choose producers based on, like, whether we think the songs will work with them. And like the demos that we had for this record, we just thought it'd be good with Rick anyway. So.
You've survived the major label wars intact.
Definitely, like, one of those things where when we signed to Warner Brothers, and then later when we just recently signed to Sony, I think we were established enough that they didn't really try and mess with that too much, because I think ultimately it would just
the A&R people would bomb if they tried that.
Well, it would just alienate the core audience that you have, which I think for a band like us, that's the key thing. And so it would be shooting yourself in the foot a little.
Like, we did have difficulties with it in some ways, because, yeah, a lot of the people that signed us, you know, at places like Warner Brothers, they were like, oh, yeah, you know, we just like you exactly how we are. We just want to be, you know, we just want to put, you know, our muscle behind you and help you get out there. But then this is something we found out when we were at South by Southwest, that apparently one of the big wigs, like, got, like, when he heard the record, he was, like, super annoyed about it. He was like, oh, they didn't invite us down to the studio. They didn't let us have our input. And they were like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. And he was like, yeah, but that's the way that things should be done. It's protocol. And apparently it really ruffled his feathers that we'd made a record without record company involvement. And he went out of his way to just have nothing to do with the record afterwards. And we found out this out a long time afterwards. But I always, you know, it's just like, it just does go to show that, like, the major labels, even in this day and age when they're becoming increasingly less relevant, still have those egos that, like, I can't believe it still exists, but apparently it does, you know.
You know, we've talked about this. You're not a heavy rotation on the radio, but yet the fans show up in droves and they're really excited.
Well, that's nice. I think because we don't get over here so much, that the people who do like us, like, when we do come over here, you know, it's nice that they're excited to see us. Like, I like to think that we've retained a lot of the fans that we had over the years, and that's something that's been really a great honor for us. And I think that, you know, hopefully it's just by people, you know, word of mouth,
yeah,
to some degree.
Been a word of mouth band, you know, and it's like, I feel like the people that get into you that way are definitely more devoted or hardcore when it comes to being fans of the band. And that's why, you know, we do the shows, and it's not like people come there just to stand around. You know, when the fans come to the gigs, they're actually like super passionate and enthusiastic, and that's great, you know. But I mean, we've had to work for every single one of those fans, you know, so it's kind of frustrating that we've always had to do everything the hard way.
We really appreciate it, you know. That's one of the things, and so that's why we always really make a lot of effort for the shows. If people only get to see us once every couple of years or whatever, then you want to make sure that no matter where you are, whether it's New York City or whether it's, you know, Santa Ana, California, or like a smaller place, like, you just want to make sure that, you know, you treat everyone the same.
So you did this 10 years ago, and now we're going to do it again. And let's see if you remember what we did. So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then you each get to pick a bunch of songs on the inside, and I play them with no interruption.